the privilege of giving this year tonight on Yonim related to Tshuva, and I want to welcome all of you to Yeshiva, those of you who are at NCA are already here anyway, but I want to welcome you to the broader Yeshiva, all of you from TABC and from Terah Hatorah and from JEC and from Rambam. And from all the other wonderful institutions that are represented here today. It's a special support for us. We had the opportunity to meet you a couple of years before you become full-fledged Talmidim here at the Yeshiva. The topic of the discourse this evening, Bashir, is on Yom Tshuva, because we're approaching the Yom Noraim, we're approaching Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Yomei Tshuva. We're really already within the Yomei Tshuva from the Rosh Chodesh Elul, the 40-day period from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippurim, really constitutes the main crux of the Tshuva period, in which we're given a special opportunity to build and rebuild our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What I wanted to focus on particularly this evening was the notion of fear in connection with the Tshuva process and what type of interconnectedness that might be between a fundamental notion of fear and at the same time a notion of joy. This is perhaps best encapsulated in the Pasuk in Tehillim, in Capital Base of Tehillim, where we're told Ibduas Hashem Biyira, right elsewhere we're told Ibduas Hashem Basimcha. So Ibduas Hashem Biyira should serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu with an element of fear. Sometimes Yira is translated in its ideal manifestation, as the Rambam expresses it, as awe. That we should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with awe, with a sense of majesty of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. V'gilu v'ra'ada, and we should rejoice with trembling. What is this? Rejoice with trembling. I want to explore some of the notions of what we mean when we talk about trembling being something to rejoice about. Because what we are faced with in the sources that I gave you is an essential contradiction between psukim that are presented to us from the psukim in Tanakh. We have one pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara in Brachos of Pachtu v'Tzion Chatoyim, where Yirmiyah says that sinners should, that those who are fearful in Tzion are Chatoyim, are sinners. Pachtu v'Tzion Chatoyim. If you're going to be fearful, if you're going to manifest fear and dread and fright, so then you are labeled as chatoyim. This is considered to be a sinful activity to be fearful. One is not supposed to be fearful, in fact. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi saw a person who was fearful, and he said, "You are a sinner. You are a sinner because the pasuk says that those who are frightful are sinners." And yet at the same time, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that tells us, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. Fortunate is a person who is always afraid. How do you reconcile these different psukim? Anybody have any ideas? Please.
Right, so you should be worried about your mitzvot, you should be worried about your Torah, but you shouldn't be excessively fearful. You shouldn't like obsess and be so scared of doing an Avera that you're never really going to wind up doing anything.
Okay, a couple of thoughts there. Let's focus on the first one, which is that the Gemara in Brachos draws a distinction that's commented upon by Tosfos in Gittin in the Ma'ariv Gomos, that when we're told that we should always be fearful, this is referring to Divrei Torah. When we're told that it is improper for a person to manifest fear, this is talking about other worldly matters that one should not be terribly afraid about. What does it mean to be fearful in Divrei Torah? What is it about Torah that one is supposed to be afraid about, according to the Gemara? According to the way Tosfos understands the Gemara in Brachos, Tosfos says, when you're supposed to be afraid, you're supposed to be afraid of what when it comes to Torah? The Torah's going to blow you up? Yes. Very good. Very good. Then it means that you're not, that you should be afraid that you're going to forget the Torah, and therefore you have to constantly review your learning. In order not to forget the Torah, you always have to be fearful that you're going to forget. Now, Tosfos carries this to an additional level. Tosfos says that what this means is that a person should never be complacent. They should never be complacent in their spiritual state, in the Torah that they have learned, in the mitzvos that they have accumulated, because a person is always supposed to continue to grow. And therefore, the Gemara in Gittin tells us, Ashrei Adam Mefachid Tamid, that a person is fortunate if they're always fearful, because it describes several incidents where the Jews, in various periods of history, suffered terrible fate because of the fact that they were overly complacent with whatever spiritual heights they had attained and did not expect calamity to befall them as a result. So says Tosfos in source number 3, Shebatfu arok tovatsam mishalvatsam, that the Jews at the end of the Bayashani period, for example, were so confident about their goodness, about their virtue, that they felt that no harm would befall them if they caused embarrassment to another Jew, as is described by the incident in Gittin of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa and various other incidents. And therefore, they were punished because they were complacent with what they perceived to be their ideal state that they had reached, that everything was good, they were rewarded, they would continue to be rewarded. So therefore, this is an elaboration upon the notion of being, the importance of being fearful of one's state of learning and mastering Torah. Rashi gives a different explanation, or appears to give a different explanation than Tosfos, as to what it means that when it is appropriate for a person to be mefached tamid, as opposed to when it is not appropriate to be fearful. What is Rashi's explanation? It doesn't appear to be specifically geared towards Divrei Torah per se. What is it geared towards? Anybody? Yes.
It's geared towards looking at the future itself and seeing what the repercussions of your actions are going to be, and if they're bad, not performing the action itself.
Basically, Rashi seems to be saying, very good, don't worry about the past. A person who's fearful, the type of fear that is condemned, is a person who is fearful about things that are beyond their control. The Gemara in Brachos tells a story of a man who just walks in, he heaves out a huge sigh. Oh, things are so tough. Things that happened are so difficult. So this is a type of fear, perhaps even a type of despair, that is condemned because a person has no control over it, but a person is supposed to be cognizant and concerned about the future. They should think about what are the consequences of my actions. What will my actions lead to, and what is the possibility that my actions could lead to unwelcome results? That is an appropriate frame of mind. That is perhaps along the lines of Ezehu Chacham Haroeh Es Ezel Chabam HaMaweh as Hanalah. Very good. Chalk one up for DRS. Who is the smart, somebody who is able to and pays attention to what is taking place in the future? This is viewed as a healthier fear than somebody who is dwelling upon the past in an unhealthy fashion. Now, if you look in the Beis Yosef, source number 5, the Beis Yosef takes this idea of fear and pinpoints it more specifically towards the tshuva season. What does the Beis Yosef say? There is a special practice that we all have. That starting the month of Elul, we blow the shofar every single day. Why do we blow the shofar every single day? Starting from the first day of Elul, what does the Torah say? Anybody else? I don't want to answer. One person to answer all the questions. What does the Torah say is the reason we start blowing the shofar by Moshe Chodesh Elul? Yes?
Because, for two reasons. First of all, because this way we'll check the Sama.
On Moshe Chodesh Elul. Why on Moshe Chodesh Elul?
So the reason why we start is because he says that they
when Moshe went up on the Har in order to receive the Luchos HaShmiyos, right? The second set of tablets, he went up for Moshe Chodesh Elul, and according to the Medrash, what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu went up? It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nis'aleh B'Yosu Shofar, that there was a shofar that was blown, and it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu rose up through the blowing of that shofar, as it says, Allah Elokim B'Sruah, right? Allah Elokim B'Sruah is what we pronounce on Rosh Hashanah, right before we blow the shofar, correct? So that's why we begin to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Torah continues to say that we blow the shofar the entire month of Elul in order to what? Anybody know? Yes? In order to remind us, excellent, in order to remind us to do tshuva. And the pasuk that's quoted as an indication that the shofar will stir us into a state of tshuva is a pasuk from Amos that says in Yagitaka shofar be'ir. If a shofar is blown in the city, v'am lo yecharadu, and people will not quake in their boots, so says the Beis Yosef. Source number 5, last line, says the Beis Yosef that this is why it is important to blow the shofar, because we learn from the pasuk in Amos v'am lo yecharadu that the shofar causes people to quake in their boots, right? That the mashma is 5 words before the end of the line. Anybody want to read it? The mashma. You want to read it? Can you find it? Okay, so 5 words, 6 words before the end of the last, second to last line of source 5. I'm sorry? We're in source number 5. 6 words before the end of the second to last line. It says, the mashma. What? You want to read? Okay, we already had a volunteer. Maybe you'll read the next one. Okay. Okay, you've been elected. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Very good. Because the indication of the pasuk behind lo yecharadu indicates the mashma. Means it indicates that the sound of the shofar causes a person to be frightful, mipachad Hashem, from the fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is something we want to generate. We want to generate a pachad Hashem, a fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As we say, what's the line that we say in the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, V'chein tein pachtacha kol ha'amim. That we want Hashem to send his pachad, to send the fright, the fear, the pachad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon us. That this is a pachad that we welcome, despite the fact that we had just learned from the Gemara in Brachos that it is considered to be sinful to constantly be in fear. We also learn from the Gemara in Gittin, from the Pasuk Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid, that there are times when it is actually considered to be virtuous to be fearful, and we're told that a virtuous type of fear for this Shuvah season is what could be described as Pachad Hashem, as the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is the nature of this fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It is a fear that is tied together with what? With? What did I just heard? Tshuva. It's a fear that is tied together with tshuva. What is the nature of tshuva? Tshuva is taking sins that have occurred and working on oneself to transform oneself for purposes of the future. It is a forward-looking fear. That forward-looking fear sounds very much like the explanation by whom as to what type of fear is a positive fear. Rashi, very good. Rashi said, what is a good fear? The fear of paying attention to what you're going to do for purposes of the future. So we're telling you that there is a positive fear. It's called the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fear that motivates us to change our behavior and improve ourselves for purposes of the future. It is a fear that is directed to not being complacent, as Tosfos would say, in our spiritual state of what we have accomplished and what we have learned, but to recognize that now it is time to go to the next level. And this perhaps gives us some insight into the meaning of the Gilu Bira'ota, that one can have a fear that translates into joy, because this becomes a constructive fear that enables us to become better. And this enables us to understand the next source, which is source number 6 from the Gemara in Tainis, which tells us that the happiest days of the year were Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av, we know what, that's the day people make the bonfires and people have a good time and they make merry and there are dances of the men and the women. The women dance and the men pick brides and it's a kind of like a Sadie Hawkins day. So Tu B'Av, we would think, is a, I don't know if people are familiar with the term Sadie Hawkins, this is like from a previous generation. But Tu B'Av is a day, we know that's like after Tisha B'Av, finally we kind of feel a little bit happier and it's a time of Nechama. So we would have thought that's actually a happy day, but Yom Kippur doesn't strike us as such a happy day. You fast and you're deprived of food and drink and people have to go to shul all day and daven all day. It's not necessarily from everyone's perspective such a happy day, and yet the Gemara said the opposite. The Gemara says, Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim, I don't know why Tu B'Av is such a happy day. Bishloma, says the Gemara, second line of source 6. Anybody want to read it? Go ahead.
Bishloma, Yom HaKippurim, Mishum de Isbe Slicho Mochila, Yom Shinisbo Luchos Hachronos.
Sure, Yom HaKippurim, that's the day that we were given for Slicha Vikapara. That's the day that Hashem said, I forgive you for the sin of the Egel. We were given the opportunity to transform ourselves for purposes of the future, regardless of what we had done in the past. And it's Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchos Achronos. It's the day we were given the Torah. The Torah was palpably given to us so that we would be able to advance in terms of our learning of the Torah, thereby satisfying both the criterion of elevating ourselves for the future and elevating ourselves in terms of our Torah. So the Gemara is saying all the pachad Hashem, all the fear and trepidation and trembling that takes place during the month of Elul until we finally get to the Yom Ha'Arayim, which culminates with the Yom HaKippurim, is for the purpose of ultimately reaching this incredible day of Simcha, which is clearly, according to the Gemara, clearly, unambiguously, incontrovertibly, a happiest day of the entire year. At the same time, we're told, source number 7, the Gemara in Erechin tells us that there was even a thought that the Gemara had that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we should recite Hallel. Because after all, these are holiday days, and generally we recite Hallel on holiday days. So the Gemara tells us not so fast. We're not going to recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why aren't we going to recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim? So says the Gemara in Erechin, that Ribbono Shel Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to the Malachei Hasharis, to the administering angels, and said to the ministering angels, Efshar Melech Yoshev HaKisei Adin, that the king is sitting on the seat of judgment, B'Sifrei Chayim, B'Sifrei Mesim, B'Suchim Nevanim, and the books of life and death, who's going to live, who's going to die, is opened up in front of the king Melech Malachei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to sing a song in front of me? We see why. It's a happy day. We know that Yom Kippurim, for sure, is a happy day. It's the day of Slicha v'Chapara. We have an opportunity to be forgiven for our sins. But again, we need to still have that sense of pachad. Because if you don't have that sense of pachad, of fright, you're going to be in a false state of complacency. You're not going to be able to take advantage of the Slicha v'Chapara. You can only take advantage of the Slicha v'Chapara if you go into the day with a sense of awe, with a certain sense of pachad Hashem, so you can get the Slicha v'Chapara. Therefore, it's not quite time to say Hallel yet. And yet, source 8, we're told that it's kind of like this interesting tension. On the one hand, we say, V'chein tein pachdecha. We want that pachad. We want to hear the voice of that shofar echoing 30 times, 100 times. We want to hear the shofar over and over again. He talked the shofar here, Amlo Yecharadu. We want to tremble, but we want to tremble because we have a happy expectation, a fortunate expectation, an Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid expectation, that fortunate is one who is fearful before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we know that if we can generate the state of pachad, then we will merit forgiveness. And this is why, says the Torah in source number 8, that it is a very peculiar dynamic that you have all these Jews going to shul on Rosh Hashanah for this Yom HaDin, and you figure that on this day of judgment, people would be dressed in the most solemn clothes, they dressed very simply, they would have maybe straggly beards, unshaven, unshorn, types of clothing and presentation as they enter into such a frightful situation. But no! Everyone gets a haircut, everybody buys a new suit, everybody walks in, they're all dressed nicely, the tables are set, they're eating big festive meals after shul is over. What is going on over here? Says the Torah, so says this is appropriate behavior. To mix this pachad with a healthy manifestation, what we call healthy and constructive fear that is targeted towards a happy realization that this fear is going to result in a constructive transformation of our personalities to make ourselves into better people, and that therefore we will merit the simcha of the slicha and the kapara before our Kaddish Baruch. Now turn to the next slide, please. Up to source number 9. The Rambam, in the Rambam's description of Hilchos Tshuva, of what it means to do tshuva, and I remember sitting in the Rav Shir of Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of our august institution, Yeshiva Rabbein Yitzchok Elkanon, and the Rav explained in no uncertain terms that the whole idea of tshuva, the whole idea of being in the season of tshuva, of repentance, is our ability to transform ourselves completely from a previous state that was less than ideal to a more ideal state, and he referred to it as a personality transformation. That we have the ability to transform our personality. And the notion that we can make mistakes, we can do things wrong, and yet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the liberty to break out of the shackles of our past misdeeds and past personalities to become a better person, is the greatest simcha of them all. And says the Rambam, I'll read it a little bit outside because it's a long quotation, that the essence of tshuva is that a person needs to recognize that they have the free choice to transform themselves. The free choice to realize that they have the ability to choose what they're going to do to affect the future. As Rashi says, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, that you realize you have the ability through your actions to affect the future. So says the Rambam, this is four lines before the end of this first paragraph here. Ulefikach, roi lo livkos lekonen achatov. A person, it's appropriate for the person to cry and wail on their sins. Why? Because of a destructive sort of sigh. Like the Gemara in Brachos described the person who suddenly gives a crack. He says, ah! No. That's not the idea. That a person is supposed to just sigh based on a situation they can't control. Lefika, therefore, the Rambam is saying, because we have the happy knowledge of knowing we can transform ourselves, that is why it is appropriate to cry. That is why it is appropriate to be fearful before Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'al mashi asa l'nafsho v'gam l'ra, that a person should wail over what they have done to themselves. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the ability to change ourselves, to set aside any type of iniquity, and to make ourselves better. As it says in a Parashas Nitzavim, we'll read in a week and a half or so, Re'ei nasati lefanecha yom es hachayim ves hatov ves hamavis ves hara. I have given you today the choice, two different paths, chayim and tov. Life, do good, live. Mesamara says tomorrow, or one can do bad and die. And then a few psukim later, what does the Torah tell us? It tells us, Ubachata, choose. Ubachata. Bar Mitzvah said to anyone, Ubachata. Bachayim. Who said that? Good job. Ubachata Bachayim. The Torah tells us, you have the ability to choose life. You can choose life. You can do good. You can change any types of mistakes you've made in the past, and you can do good. This is why it is appropriate, says the Rambam, for a person to engage in wailing, for a person to engage in crying. And the Rambam further says, a couple of prakim later in Hilchos Tshuva, that the attitude of a Baal Tshuva is, then yesterday I was so removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now I have the ability to be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will be accepted b'simcha. There's a simcha. There is a happiness. There is a joy that comes out of this process that appears on its face to be so riddled with trepidation, to be so riddled with fear and with anxiety and with angst. But this is a process that leads ultimately to simcha. Last sources that I wanted to bring here. It's a very fascinating discussion towards the end of the Gemara in Kiddushin on the very pasuk that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Hei from Megillas Eicha. Of all places, when you want to find a source that discusses how upbeat we should be, and how we should not be so desolate and so forlorn and so discouraged. So you figure you're buying something from a happy source, maybe Megillas Esther, right? But where does the Rambam pick from? The Rambam picks from Megillas Eichel. Megillas Eichel appears to be an essay in despondency, in sadness. My goodness, the Chorban HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash, was just destroyed. But no, all the wailing and despondency of Tisha B'Av is meant to be directed constructively. And therefore, it's precisely Megillas Eichel which serves for us as a roadmap of the type of positive attitude that we ought to have towards the future. And there's a very profound thought here. What's the pasuk in Megillas Eicha? The Rambam insists upon, the Gemara Kiddushin discusses different interpretations of. It's a pasuk in Kapitel Gimel of Megillas Eicha that says, "Mayi sonein adam chai geber achat to'ov." Why should a person sigh? And be so distressed if the person is chai. What does chai mean?
Alive.
If a person is alive. This is not a trivial word, we shall see. If a person is alive. Geber al chata'ov. Okay? Given sins that a person has committed in their life. So here we have an interpretation of this pasuk in the context of a machlokis between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim about the laws of Yichud that we're not going to get into right now. And Abba Shaul says, what's the meaning of this pasuk? B'misrayim amidais of tziv. This is talking about somebody who is sighing over what? What are they sighing about? What does Rashi say? Source number 12. Who wants to read the first Rashi? Source number 12. Volunteers. Somebody wants to volunteer themselves? Yes. Amidosav, what does Rashi say? Akorosav, akorososav. What does that mean? Akorosav, akorososav. Anybody, what does that mean? You don't have to translate, you can if you wish. Korosav means what? Happenings. Very good. Things that happen to a person. Do not sigh. Like the Gemara Baruchel says, the person who sighs, the person who's fearful over things that happen to them that are out of their control. And maybe the things that happen are things that cause sadness, that cause fright on some level. This is not an appropriate posture. This is not an appropriate perspective. Why is it not an appropriate perspective? Who wants to read the next Rashi? Mayi sonein adam chai. Go ahead. Want to translate?
Why should somebody want to be sad? Why should you worry about the happenings that come on him?
Very good. Achar kol hachesed, considering all the exactly. It's saying to be alive is the greatest simcha of all. How can a person just bewail the difficulties of their life, all of the different events that occurred to them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you life. I love to cite this Rashi in connection with birthday parties. A person celebrates a birthday. This is the marker for birthday parties. One could argue on some level that is a celebration of being alive. A Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a person another year of life. A person is alive. That is the greatest vote of confidence. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, you have a chance. You're alive. Here's a new Rosh Hashanah. It's a new Tshuva season. You're alive. You have the opportunity. You're given the chance to be in this world because you have the opportunity to better yourself. You have the opportunity to improve yourself. You have the opportunity to transform yourself. It cannot be the case, as we know, that there's an Ein Tzadik Baris, a Sheyasetov, a Loyakatov, that you can't find somebody who's completely immune from sin. Sin is something which is almost a consequence of the travails, or certainly a a fact of human mortality and frailty, that there is always the potential, whether willingly or unwillingly, to succumb to some sort of sinful behavior, and therefore a person can't really complain when things happen to them, because everything has a certain cleansing effect. But the fact that a person has been presented with life, with the fact that a person has been presented with the opportunity for tshuva, this is an opportunity for us to be able to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva means return. We can return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should celebrate the fact that we have life and that we're given the chance to cry and to wail before Hashem and to recognize the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of transforming ourselves. This is Begilu Bera'adah. This is rejoice in the trembling. Rejoice in the opportunity to tremble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have the Pachad Hashem, to bring out the shofar and the shofar sound so that we can be seized with that Pachad, because through that Pachad, this constructively channeled Pachad, we will be able to direct our attention towards the true Simcha Sachayim, towards the happiness of being able to break out of our own frailty and of our own mortality, and to recognize that there is life, that there is life, that there is the opportunity to change, the opportunity to be transformed, the opportunity to make ourselves better, the opportunity to take the Torah that we learn and to master the Torah better, the opportunity to learn more Torah, the opportunity to be on a higher spiritual plane, b'divrei Torah k'siv. This is b'divrei Torah, this is for the sake of Torah, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have this type of pachad, excuse me. And, in addition, this is a fear which is targeted towards improvement, towards the future, as opposed to a negative and destructive obsession about whatever happened in the past. The past cannot be controlled. People who dwell in the past are dwelling in a type of orientation which is antithetical to what it means to be alive. Because according to the Torah perspective, what it means to be alive is to have a recognition that we are subject to change and improvement. A recognition that we have a free will that we were given by our HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to actually take actions that can change the future, that can change ourselves, that can transform ourselves and transform the future. And it is through a healthy pachad Hashem that we harness and that we hope to continue to harness during this tshuva season, that we can arrive at the ultimate simcha of Yom Slicha v'Chapara, Yom Sheninu Bo Luchos Achronos, that we can have a rejuvenation in terms of our own personalities, in terms of our own closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of our own Limud HaTorah. Shkayach.